Well, I'd like to take our thought that we had this morning, go a little bit further, maybe a little bit different direction. tried to paint a picture with words this morning of a team, and that how valid and important it is for each one on the team to play their part. Just as the church is depicted in the scripture as a body with many members, and every one of those members have a very essential and important function in our physical body, every component in the church has a very important function and area of contribution. And every member on a team has a very important thing. We use the illustration of a basketball team this morning, and how important it is to realize that everyone on the team has to know how to dribble the ball. They all have to know how to pass the ball, and they all have to know how to shoot to make a basket. And they all are playing by the same rules, but every one of them has been coached, has been trained, has practiced to perform in a little bit different area than maybe they may be playing point guard or center or whatever position they're playing. Every one of them has been coached to cultivate their natural abilities to be at the highest level of performance. And every one of those that's sitting on the bench have been coached to take a particular position. They know that when the one that is playing position two or position three or whatever it is, when they come out of the game, they're the one that's going in. It's not a random choice. I've been kind of maybe clueless about that in the past, but I believe that those that's going in, unless it comes to a desperate situation, the ones that's sitting on the bench, they know what their job is. So we talked about being a bench warmer. Usually that's a negative, has a negative connotation in our mind. And being engaged in the service, in the worship service. If we're not engaged, we'll get sleepy. If we're not engaged, we'll be disappointed. There won't be anything in it for us. But when we become engaged, I believe that's where the Lord can really minister to us and help us to feel connected and part of the game. We need to be in the game, whether we're actually handling the ball or whether we're tuned in and knowing what the play is all about and what should be the next step. Whether we're in an offensive maneuver or a defensive maneuver. I'd like to go this evening to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I think I want to look at the 20th verse here, something that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 18. It says here, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So it's at the end of a thought here. Jesus was giving them instruction on how to deal with difficulties and problems amongst the body of believers. And he said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So this morning we talked a little bit about how important it is for us to not feel the fears of intimidation if the enemy comes and camps around us, like the enemy came and camped around Elisha and his servant in the town or village that they lived in, and the servant went out and said that, you know, we're surrounded. What do we do? What are we going to do? It's important for us to realize that we should be a team. We should be able to work together. Here he says, where there's two or three, I'll be in the midst. I believe that that's a promise from God, that he would be in our midst, that he would be willing to work with us, even though we're not a host. We might not be an army. I think he would like to make a host. I think he would like to make an army out of his people. I think he would like to see a united front against the evils of the world that's around us. But he has to start somewhere. He starts with two or three. He says, I'll be in your midst. He would like for us to cultivate the attributes to be players on the team and be in the game. So I ask us these questions. Why are we here? What is our purpose? We talked about this a little bit this morning. We can come to see. We can come to be entertained. We can come just to see any new development, or we can come to be engaged and be part of the team and be in the game. And I want to ask another question here. Do we believe that we can win? You know, a team that doesn't believe that they can win is kind of starts out with a defeated mindset, and it's pretty hard to. Do you believe that the gospel is a winner? Is it something that will actually change lives? There are so many coping mechanisms out there, and I don't believe the gospel is just a coping method or a band-aid. I believe it's a cure. I believe when Jesus healed the blind man, I believe that when he could see clearly, I don't believe it was a temporary fix. When the man that came to the apostles and, or he didn't come, they came by him and he was asking alms. And when he went leaping and shouting into the temple, I believe it was a cure. It wasn't just a surge of adrenaline or an emotional thing that passed. I believe it was a complete cure. And when God comes to change a life and change a heart, I believe it's a solution. It's not just a piece of tape over the warning light. We get that in our occupation. Sometimes people come in and they've had a warning light on and they've got a piece of black tape over it. Or maybe they took the bulb out. Well, that might be just a little bit of a patch, but we're talking about something that's a real solution. So I believe we can win. I believe God has a plan for his people to win in the battle against wrong. So I'd like to go now to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I would like to talk this evening a little bit about teamwork. Scripture in the Old Testament that has kind of been a motto of mine in life, of whatever you find hands to do, do it with all thy might. I believe that's important, but you know, if we are doing something as a team, we have to be, this is one of the main points I want us to get this evening, is we have to be aware of what our teammates are doing, okay? We have to be aware and be in tune with what our fellow team members are doing. So he says here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, I got on the wrong page, so let me get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So, a cohesiveness of purpose, a uniform direction is very essential for us to be able to have a effective team. Okay? So, teamwork is something that the more we are congruent, the more we are able. I think about maybe in the game of basketball, you could have a one team that, say, their shortest person on the team is 6 foot tall, and their center is 7 foot tall, and so the other three members of the team are in between there somewheres, and they could be the team that's opposing them could maybe be the tallest one is 6 foot, and the shortest one might be 5 foot tall. And you say, well, that other team has a severe disadvantage. Well, they do, height-wise, a foot across the board. But if the ones that will work together as a team, careful handling of the ball, and not taking any undue chances of shooting the ball at the wrong time, because they need to be accurate. If they're going to shoot, they need to make it, because pretty much a rebound might be out of the question. You know, if everybody else on the opposing team is a foot taller, there's a good chance that you're not going to get many rebounds. You just have to be a chance if you're in the right place. So you have to work together and use your time wisely, not only in offense, but in defense. And you have to be very aware of what our purpose is. We can't have one person running off by themselves and doing something. And although I believe very adamantly in whatever our hand finds to do it with all of our might. If I'm off by myself, just doing everything I can, and I'm not working in coordination with the others on my team, it's not going to be very effective long term. All right? So this verse says that we ought to be perfectly joined together. What does it mean to be perfectly joined together? I think sometimes in my line of work, it's sometimes things come in and it's obviously broken, and maybe the piece is hanging down, and the spring is broke, or the drive shaft is broke, or something like that. And other times, it can be very obscure. And one of the things that will tell us if we're looking for a noise, or we're looking for something that gives us, you know, some looseness sensation in a drivetrain, is you begin to look around where the fasteners hold things together. And if there's any movement, if it's not a perfect joint, there will be maybe the dirt is rubbed off, and maybe there's a little rust around the head of a bolt. We may have not even touched it. We're just looking. And we see this area where two pieces of metal that's supposed to be solidly bolted together, but instead of that, you see this little shiny area of metal that's exposed. And it's an indication that it's not perfectly joined together. There's movement, there's friction in between there. So he says here, "I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, my desire for you is that you would speak the same thing, there'd be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." It can be very distressing if you're trying to accomplish a task and one person feels like that maybe you ought to just tear the whole building down and start over. And the other one thinks, well, I think we can salvage it. Let's just brace it up and put some new siding on it. And if you can't come to an agreement on that, most likely neither one of them will happen. But if you can have an agreement, what is, and work on something as a team. This is the point. Teamwork doesn't all mean that we're just all straining at the same time. But teamwork is being aware of the direction, of the consensus. It says here, perfectly joined together, no divisions, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, the same decisions and the same purpose. And I would like to look now in Amos, the third chapter, Old Testament here. Amos was talking to Israel at a time when they were had not had a reputation for being compliant and obedient. They had not been true to their part of the bargains and God's intent for them. And maybe we'll start in the first verse. It says, hear this word, third chapter of Amos. That's where I'm at. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, ye only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So he says, the reason that I have to administer some discipline, some punishment, is because we're not walking together. We're not in agreement. We are not on the same page. We are not perfectly joined together. So it only stands to reason that it's difficult to walk together. It's difficult to be working towards a common cause. I had to think of a little picture that I'm sure all of us have seen. I don't know when it was put out there. It was a picture of two little boys, look like they're dressed the same, and got a little wagon, and one of them's at the front and one of them's at the back, and one of them's got a hold of the tongue and he appears to be pulling, and the one on the back, it's unknown is what's he doing, but the caption says, are you pushing or pulling? What are you doing back there? You know, which way are you wanting to go with this wagon? So for a team to be effectual, we have to be aware. Where's my other team members going? If all of you are heading towards right down the center of the court, then I need to be able to support that endeavor. If you're all going over here to the side, then I need to, if we're coming up to the right or to the left towards the goal, I need to support that endeavor. We need to have, which way are we going? How are we going to present ourselves to the opposing team's defense? It's a very fundamental thing. It's a very basic thing here. But I just want us to get a hold of something this evening, that the common goal, the common cause, the common purpose. If we don't have this, we don't have a team. If we're not engaged in the game, we're not really part of the team. If the work of the Lord is not our desire when we're at service, if we come to service for just to hear a new thing or to see something or kind of a social thing, we don't really have a team. But if we're coming because we have a desire be pleasing to the Lord. I want to see the cause of God furthered and prospered. I want this work to advance. Then we have grounds for a team. But if we don't have a common cause, if we don't have a common goal, we don't have teamwork. We can't do teamwork if we don't have the same judgment, if we don't have the same purpose, if we don't have the same direction. So I just want to give us that little thought this evening, and I want us to keep in mind the little picture of the two little boys with the wagon, and one of them asking the other one, I don't think either one of them are actually speaking, but that's the caption on the picture. I'm sure you've seen it. Are you pushing or pulling? I want us all to be on the team, whether we're on the bench or on the floor. I want us to be in the game. And I want us all to be willing to work towards the common. You know, sometimes we might have questions. What is our purpose? What is our direction? What are we trying to accomplish here? What is our what's our end goal? And if we don't have an end goal, then we need to establish that. Otherwise, teamwork becomes something that's obscure, and it's not something that we can actually achieve. It can't be accomplished if we don't have a common goal and a common purpose. I desire your prayers. I want to have the common good and the common goal in mind. I don't want to be pushing or pulling when the team is going a different direction. You pray for me.